Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Trunk or Treat, we had a really good time at Trunk or Treat. I kind of felt like the disciples did whenever Jesus changed the two fish and the bread, because it just kept coming. I mean, I didn't ask for it, and it just kept coming, and we didn't have that much to give, but God just kept giving it to us, you know. And so it's just amazing that how great he is and how much he gives us when we don't expect for him to give us. Thank you for that. Today, the sermon is about a generous life and better than I deserve. Okay. Have you ever been on a trip where everything is going wrong? And believe me, everything went wrong. Yeah, it did. Well, this is our hunting trip. So, first thing that happened is the day before we were supposed to leave, the trailer lights wouldn't work. So we had to replace all the lights on the trailer. That was a pain. And then after that, I started getting a toothache. Believe me, that was no fun. It was there the whole time. Man, it bugged me the whole time. Then, as my son Michael was pulling out of the driveway, he got a flat tire. And a broken windshield on his way home. When we tried to change the tire wouldn't come off the rim. It just wouldn't come off. We couldn't get it off. It's like, come on. What else is going to happen? It wouldn't come off the hub. Okay, that's what it was. And then we was trying to get the spare tire down, and the spare tire holder wouldn't release, so nothing would happen. It wouldn't come down. We're sitting there fighting with it, trying to get it. It wouldn't come down. It just stuck. So finally, we got that down. And as we was heading up the pass, my buddy's truck started overheating, so we had to pull over and wait for it to work. And so we finally got it to cool down. We're thinking, man, what's going on here? And then as we get on the other side of Monarch, the trailer tire blows out. Aww. We're like, really? What else is going to happen here? Wow. And then the morning that we're supposed to go hunting, the four-wheelers won't start. So we're out there messing with the four-wheelers, trying to get them to run, and they just wouldn't run. Nothing would happen. Geez, what else is going to happen here? And on the day that I was supposed to leave, after we did all of our hunting, and by the way, we did see some elk, but we didn't get anything. That was okay, though. It was an enjoyable trip. As we were getting ready to leave, my buddy's transfer case blew up in his truck, so we couldn't even move. We couldn't go. We couldn't do nothing. It's like, what's going to happen here? What's going on here? Do I have to stay here? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Do I got to stay here? Because I can't go nowhere now. Well, luckily, Michael had his truck there, so I got to go home and actually get away from everything. But, you know, even though all these things go wrong, we have these things that go wrong in our lives, and God has them happen for a reason. We don't know why. We can't understand why. But all the things he does is for his glory. So, but through all this, I didn't get mad or start throwing things like I usually would. I usually get mad. I mean, this is the change in me, because I've, you know, I used to be pretty bad. And through all this, the new me had emerged. Jesus had changed my heart and attitude towards life. As we think about the things that happen in our lives, we don't understand why. I mean, like with Carrie getting cancer, you know, we pray every day that, you know, that she's going to be healed. But we don't know why he gave it, why he did that. I mean, there's so many different things that happen. We have so many things that happen in our lives that we don't understand why God's doing that. We just have to trust in him and love him and know that he's going to be there for us, and he's going to get us through all the things that we need to go get through. You know, but as I was on the mountain, I looked out and saw the beauty and the grandeur of God that God had prepared for me, because it was just beautiful. It was so awesome to be able to sit up there on that mountain and to see all that God had created, you know, everything that is around us and the beauty that we see. We take that for granted every day. We take the sunrise for granted. We take all these things for granted. And we just think that it's just there. But it's a miracle. All these things that are happening are a miracle. And we should take that as a miracle. One of the biggest things that really was one of the high points was for my son to be hunting with me, for me to be able just to be out there and to enjoy my time with my son, because, you know, me being the age that I am, I could be someone that could be crippled. I could be someone that doesn't have that ability to get up on that mountain and be able to get up there and see God's grandeur. I mean, it's just, you know, we think these things, we just take these things for granted, but, you know, my friend's daughter paralyzed, but they get to go out, and they get to go out, and they get to hunt, but he takes his time with her, and he takes her out in her wheelchair and does things with her. So, I mean, that's just that's a father's love, and that's what God gives us each and every day. That was a little down there. So, through all this, what I've realized is God gives us our love, gives us love each and every day, and he just continues just to pour it out on us, and we should just thank him and praise him for all he's given us. It's so much, so much better than I deserve. If we turn to Psalm 65, I apologize for lack of information in the bulletin. Tom gave me plenty of time to do it, but I just didn't put it in there in time. Yeah. It's titled, O God of Our Salvation. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, to atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near. To dwell in your courts, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength establishes the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the people, so that those who dwell in the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going out of in the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valley decks themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. When Tom approached me to give this sermon, I was kind of lost. And I had to go to him, and I had to, you know, get his help a little bit with all this. So, I mean, these are the, as he put it, the nuggets that I dug out of this verse. Well, that we dug out of this verse. So, all right. Praise. First one. How much do we praise God for all that he does? One of the conversations I had with my son was about praise. Does God expect us to praise him? That's a hard question. Me and Carrie even talked about it this morning. We don't know. Does God expect us to praise him? I don't. Isaiah 25:1, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Psalms 156. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 42:11. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. And Luke 2:20. The shepherds returned, glorified and praising God for all the things that he had heard and seen, for they have heard and seen, which were just as they were told. No, my question is, are we expected to praise God? Or does God expect us to praise us? I can't answer that, because I know that what I understood from this and what I got from what God was telling me is, I don't know if God expects us to praise, but I do know if you truly accept Christ in your heart and he's the ruler of your life, you will surely want to praise him for how God and how loving and generous he is. The next one in this is obedience. And to you shall all vows be prepared or be performed. The analogy I got out of this was just like in marriage, in our marriage vows. It starts out, in the name of God, I take you to be and to have and to hold from this day forward, for better and for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. The difference here in these vows, it's kind of the same kind of vow that we could make to Christ as far as separation, because he's already paved the way for us to heaven. He's paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us to have eternal life with him. This is his promise he made to us. Through obedience, we are blessed. This is better than we deserve. The world and its desires pass away. Oh, this is 1 John 2:17. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And the next one in there is prayer. Prayer draws us near to him. Prayer is God's sanctuary for us to have a best friend who is always there and listening. Prayer is our direct communication with God for all our problems and our worries. Anytime we have problems and worries, all we have to do is turn to God and just say, God, take this from me. And he will, because Christ died for us. He put that to lay that burdens down at the cross, and he'll take them from you. All we have to do is do this in faith and believe. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever he asked, we know. And if you know, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So God's going to give us what we need. He always will. He'll be there for us and all of our problems and everything that we go through. He may not give us what we want, but he gives us what's best for us. The next one is iniquities. And when iniquities prevail. Let's see where we end. I'm putting the wrong one. Sorry about that. Anyway. When iniquities prevail, when my sins overcome me, you atone for me. You pay the bill that we can't pay. Through forgiveness, free grace, and love. This is the only small part of the totality. This is only a small part of the totality of God's love and service for us. The next one is blessed. Blessed those who choose to be near. It means you're highly favored, fortunate, trial tested, God develops us through trials and tribulations to draw us nearer to him. For us to be to experience his deeper love. As we draw closer to him, we want to go out and make disciples and further his kingdom. Number six. The one who is led by strength and established the mountains, being girded with might. This is God's power. If God can create the mountains as mighty as they are, then God has endless power. He created all things. We worry and put limitations on God. In truth, God has no limitations. He is omnipotent, having unlimited power, able to do anything. Omniscient, knowing everything. Omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. That means God has no limitations. He can fix all. He can do anything. And we always need to remember that. All we have to do is just put our faith in that and pray to him for that. And it's, wow, what an awesome God we have. There is no problem God can't deal with. Number seven. Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the people. The one who takes our burdens from us, the problems of everyday life, the influence of the world. This is what we receive from our relationship with God. Jesus paid the price so that all our sins can be forgiven and no longer is there a sacrifice. He was our ultimate sacrifice, better than we deserve. So that those who dwell in the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. This is from the miracles all around us, we see every day the sun rises and sets, and the earth spins and gives us gravity. We have oxygen to breathe. We can't see it, but it's there, but it's still there. It's a miracle in itself, something we can't see, but it's still there. Number nine. You visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it. This is all bound together, 9 through 13. You water its furrows abundantly, settle its ridges, soften it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout out and sing together for joy. This is God inviting us to his river of water. God's river is full of grace and forgiveness. How long are we going to live in our sinful lives and let the world control us? Jesus provided a way for us to come to the Father and to take all of our burdens and lay them down at the foot of the cross. All we have to do is confess with our tongue Jesus is the Lord and accept him into our lives. This is God's generosity to give his only son to die for us. This is so much better than I deserve. Matthew 28. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In closing, this is my closing statement. It says, remember this, God doesn't want something from us. He just wants us. That's C.S. Lewis. If you feel led today, have the worship team come forward. If you feel led today, come forward and give your life to Jesus. We'll provide prayer for you up here, and we just invite you if this message has touched you in any way.
want to add to that.